Looking at papers 9, 9A and 9B then, which are papers to discuss or confirm the steps already taken regarding due process for two upcoming exposure drafts. First paper that we'll turn to now is 9A, which is the summary of the due process followed for the proposed amendments to IAS 28 relating to equity accounting and accounting for the share of other net asset changes. This is something that you had discussed in July in terms of the technical aspects. The paper gives a brief summary of the amendments. I won't go into those, but they're just set out there in paragraphs 3 to 6. And in paragraph 7, we're referring to the due process steps that we've already taken or are scheduled to take relating to the publication of this exposure draft. Appendix A sets out the individual steps that have been taken. And the question for you, which is part of the due process itself, is to ask you if you are satisfied that all relevant steps appropriate for this exposure draft have been complied with to date.
Are there any comments? Somebody's reading some comments in there.
Your Twitter must be one.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, we're in the process of balloting that, or the pre-ballot stage at the moment, and obviously we will continue with that. The other paper to turn to then is paper 9B, which is, again, the summary of due process followed, this time in relation to the annual improvements cycle for 2011-2013. This is something which, since writing this paper, we've started with the, or gone into the pre-ballot phase for publishing an exposure draft for these five annual improvements. Now, Appendix A to the paper gives a summary of those five items that you've discussed in previous meetings. Things that I wanted to cover with this discussion today were, first of all, to ask formally if anybody intends to dissent. Now, when each of these five issues was discussed by you, you voted on each one in turn, and at that stage, no members voted against any of those proposed amendments, but as the due process handbook requires that we do formally ask if anybody intends to dissent, I wanted to do that now. Mm-hmm. So, does anybody intend?
I agree with the basic conclusion on revenue-based depreciation, mm-hmm. but the way you've written it, the guidance negates the conclusion, and so I will dissent over that. The conclusion is that revenue-based depreciation is not appropriate, but then all of the guidance seems to suggest, well, yes, you can do it as in this way or that way. So I need to look at the final words, but I will probably dissent over that.
It would be helpful if we could chat with you about that. That was certainly not our intention.
Yes. I had expressed the same concern to Michael, and in fact, identified a potential solution to this issue. So if we can come to an agreement on what those words might be.
So this is, just to be clear then, make sure it's a drafting issue, yeah. So that you're discussing as opposed to a technical issue in terms of the actual decision of the...
Falsity agreed with
yeah. I agree
saying.
With the fundamental decision that depreciation is consumption of the benefit of from an asset, not the revenue that it generates.
So if the words that we've got don't accurately or sufficiently reflect your technical decision, then obviously we need to change those words to reflect that technical decision. Okay. And
so we'll, has the dissent been quelled?
But it's these new words.
We go?
No. I will not dissent, but a few doubts, you know, will, from beginning, a few doubts, it will create some confusing because, you know, sometimes, or in many cases, you know, people will use revenue as a surrogate. It's a reality. And I think this is the one reason why, from beginning, I suggest we only tackle the issue from some countries narrowly, rather than enlarge into an issue That is whether revenue-based depreciation is appropriate or not. And I will not dissent.
This, could I comment? This is the problem with putting in proxies and surrogates. All we're trying to say, what Weiguo just said, and I basically agree, if the difference is immaterial, then sure, you can use revenue as a way of computing your depreciation. And if that's what you mean by surrogate, I agree. But if it's going to be an exception to the principle of consumption of benefit, then I don't agree. So I get, you know, I said yesterday in two other cases, and I continue to worry that we put in surrogates and proxies and things, and we're confusing people.
No. I think
Paul, what I want to say, in reality, revenue quite often use a surrogate to measure consumption.
That's
right. And yes, it is reality. And if we tackle this issue narrowly, that is inflation just adjusted, and maybe easier, will not create any confusion or debate.
Well, when you say surrogate, do you mean because it is immaterially different, not materially different?
Yes.
Fine.
In reality, many cases, people use revenue as a surrogate to calculate the depreciation.
Okay.
And but we now, try to tackle an issue and basically say revenue-based depreciation is not eligible. And the people create some confusion. This is why.
One of the difficulties that we face is we've had some pushback from two industries. One we knew was coming, and that's concessionaires in Asia, who use pure revenue based with inflation depreciation, and they use it with the express intent of back-ending depreciation.
For highways that aren't quite open yet.
Highways that are waterworks is another example. The other is in the media business, and there they are using, we have concluded, revenue as a surrogate for viewer share. Because it's easier to count the dollars than it is to count the number of eyeballs on the screen. Those are the only two, really, that we've come up with. And we were trying in the language, and I'm probably guilty of some of what Paul's complaining about, to address the uncertainty people had about saying that, well, gosh, we don't actually compute eyeballs because we have revenues and we figure it's certain number of currency unit per eyeball. And of course, their express intention is to front end the depreciation. And it's kind of hard to argue with that result. So we were trying to reduce the uncertainty by adding additional language. And obviously, we haven't accomplished that. So we'll have to take another pass at the wording.
I think it may just be wording.
Yeah.
When we developed the IFRIC on concessions, we expressly confirmed that a depreciation based on units of traffic or units of production would be okay, and this is still true. Here the question is whether revenue is a proxy for units of production, which is true only if the prices remain stable throughout the period, no price increase, no inflation. So yes, revenue could be a proxy for production, except that usually the prices are not stable throughout all the production period. And production is a proxy for consumption only if there is a kind of fixed ratio between production and consumption. So there are two proxies that need to work for revenue to be okay. So I think it's probably what the committee is proposing is probably right. And yes, you can say revenue is a proxy, but you have to prove that revenue will not increase in proportion to the production over time.
The words that I have concern with were in paragraph A. We say that revenue generation, methods are prohibited, and then we go on to say, but however, the following circumstances, they may be permissible. And we talk about revenue patterns being relatively stable, and I think that just opens up Pandora's box as to what relatively stable means.
Well, we can work with you.
Yeah. Okay. now, connected with the exposure draft, we've summarized in the appendix the due process steps already taken. And one of the items that I need to ask you about is the comment period. Now, the comment period for annual improvements is normally 90 days. With this one, we're proposing 120 days. And the reason for that relates to the amendment we've just talked about and the fact that there are these two industries where the effects of this change would be particularly concentrated. And so to allow time for those industries to be able to respond and for us to conduct outreach to them, we proposed 120 days. Now, this memo, this information was also provided to the and discussed with the Due Process Oversight Committee at the trustees meeting last week. And they did ask that the board think carefully about whether that particular amendment was did meet the criteria for annual improvements and should remain within the exposure draft. Obviously, the criteria for annual improvements is something that has been assessed for each of these, including this one, each of these amendments as they were discussed, and at the time concluded that yes, it did meet the definitions of annual improvements. Annual improvements is about clarifying existing criteria, and in my opinion, this is exactly what it does. It clarifies the distinction between consumption of economic benefits versus generation of economic benefits. The alternative path to take would be to separately expose this particular amendment. That's what we're talking about here. Do we include it in one exposure draft, or do we separate this particular amendment into a separate one? So, first of all, I think if I could ask you to comment on or agree with whether or not this issue should remain within annual improvements, given the concerns identified and raised by the trustees.
I think if there is a concern from the due process committee that this is not truly fit for the annual improvement.
It's not a major difference. All it means, just to be clear, is that it would be published as a separate document. So it's really just a sort of location question as opposed to any more material change. So if it's been raised by the Due Process Oversight Committee, I guess the question for the board is, do you want to take that step of publishing it as a separate document?
Shall we just take the simple step to
publish it as a separate document?
Well, but I wouldn't. I don't think it does require it. I think it is an annual improvement, and are we going to create a precedent?
Well, if it doesn't make much of a difference, also in speed, but it addresses concerns of the due process committee.
A process question if we decide to do that. If it was a separate project, there would have been a normal process of having an agenda decision by the board to launch a project or not. Because this went through a different channel, which is IFRIC proposing improvements, not a usual board deliberating on an agenda decision and then doing all the things. So could not people say, well, if it is not an annual improvement, it is something else, and then you did not have this step of having an agenda decision to launch the project?
Well, we didn't have an agenda decision as such for the other exposure draft we just talked about.
Yeah, because there are annual improvements.
No, it isn't. No, that was another thing that came to us through the Interpretations Committee.
I'm not expert in process, but can we have projects which are separate projects without having an agenda decision?
I think the more important question, rather than the process question, that's really at the heart of what you're asking, is if we had to weigh this on its own bottom as a separate project, would we have added it to the agenda? Would we think it met the criteria of being sufficiently important, sufficiently
That's what they meant by agenda decision.
Embedded in practice and things like that. And that's a reasonable question to ask. I'm not sure what the answer is.
Jan was first.
Well, I think we have taken the topic to us, and we have discussed this, and we have decided. And I think we should have a separate document, because we shouldn't risk having people complaining in our work just because of we are on the borderline of having this or having that. So I think it doesn't make any difference, but no one can then come back and complain.
We can have a very long discussion about that, but if the due process committee thinks it's, you know, suggests to us that we take it as a separate item, why not we get out of it and risk a needless confrontation with the due process committee? Okay. Yes?
Okay, we'll separate that out then. That exposure draft will have the standard 120-day comment period. Can I ask for confirmation that the annual improvements now, which will exclude this particular one, will have the standard 90-day comment period for annual improvements? Can you agree with that?
Or? No, I'm agreeing.
No. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Does anyone disagree?
No.
Easier question.
What? Never.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So in that case, for both exposure drafts, then both the annual improvements and the separate one for revenue-based appreciation, are you satisfied that all applicable due process steps have been followed with regards to both of those exposure drafts?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.